from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Tisha B'Av that falls on Shabbos. This year, 5779, that's 2019, summer, Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos. Literally the 9th of Av, this commemoration of the destruction of the temple, falls on Shabbat. So what do we do? Well, we definitely don't fast, no question about that. But the question is, to what extent is Shabbos somehow still, does it still have lingering effects of it being the 9th of Av? Or is it totally canceled on Shabbos and move completely to Sunday? Also, how do we negotiate presence of Shabbos with Tisha B'Av coming right afterwards as well? So, firstly, there are two basic approaches as to whether Tisha B'Av is canceled for Shabbos and is moved completely to Sunday, or whether it's not completely canceled, but it is somewhat present on Shabbos and more so moved to Sunday. So that's an interesting debate, has various ramifications. We'll talk about that at the end. But first, practical aspects. Number one, generally during the 9 days, we take partial lukewarm showers and baths. We don't want to completely immerse ourselves. It's not a time for pleasurable bathing. It's not a time for full hygiene. We want to feel that morning feeling. We want to feel that yuck feeling. And we curtail bathing. We live in a very hygienic society, so we continue to bathe to the best of our ability with lukewarm water. Water, we don't have to make it so cold, it would be shocking to our system, but lukewarm, and not to stand at one time under the shower, or not to linger in the shower or the bath either. But what about the eve of Shabbos? Could we bathe in hot water before Shabbos? Generally, it's assumed that no, you continue to bathe in the lukewarm, partial shower, even before this particular Shabbos. What about on Shabbos? Can we sing songs on Shabbos? And the answer is absolutely. Although there is a custom that we sing a sad song Friday night for the tune of one of the Tisha B'Av songs, Elid Zion. We sing the V'lil Chadodi. Some object, but generally that's a custom that we do sing a sad song a Friday night. Actually, it's a little bit before Shabbos, but that's what we do. But generally, our meals are exactly as they always are. We have meat, we have wine, even though during the 9 days we don't. But we have meat, we have wine, and we can sing as well. If you have guests, if you generally have guests, you have guests. If you generally have, let's say, a communal sudash lishi, third meal, you could have a communal meal. But if you don't, then we don't want to make it extra festive for this particular Shabbos. Could you sponsor a kiddush this Shabbos? Well, if it's right before the wedding or somehow that's a very particular anniversary that particular time, you could have a special kiddush that Shabbos. But otherwise, if you had many Shabbatot to pick from, you wouldn't pick this one to have a special kiddush that Shabbos. What about on Shabbat? We know we're not going to fast. As a matter of fact, even at Sudash Lishit, even at the third meal, Shalosh Shudas, where usually we're getting ready for Tisha B'Av, we have a very sad meal, a meager meal before Tisha B'Av. Not on this Shabbos. We're going to eat. You can have a Feast of Solomon. Even at Sudash Lishit, even right before Tisha B'Av, you can have as much as you want. You can have meat, wine, whatever you'd like to have. But that's as far as eating and drinking, because it's not a fast day on Shabbos. But what about the other forms of mourning, such as bathing? Can you use hot water on Shabbos? Let's say you had it rigged so that when you turn the hot water on, it doesn't make the cold water in the water cistern turn hot. Let's say you had a big apartment building where you could use the hot water, or you turned off the furnace so that it's not making it hot on Shabbos, but you have some hot water prepared. Could you bathe in hot water? Could you wash your face in hot water on Shabbos? They say, no, that you shouldn't do. Can people have marital relations on Friday night? After all, it's not Tisha B'Av. But they say, no. Many rabbis say that Devarim Shebetzinah Nohig, that private matters, privately, it really is a day of mourning, and therefore we continue with that. It's similar to, God forbid, someone is sitting Shiva, and then Shabbos comes. You're not going to mourn on Shabbos, God forbid. You're not going to take off your shoes. You're not going to sit on the floor. But you wouldn't partake in marital relations. There are those who disagree. The Mechaber, Sephardic Jews. And, in fact, if a woman just got back from the mikvah on Friday night, so it's a mitzvah the first time back from the mikvah, they could engage in those relations. Now, then we have another problem. When does the fast start? Well, fast starts at sundown. Yeah, but when does Shabbos end? Shabbos ends 42 minutes, 50 minutes, whatever your particular custom is, 72 minutes after Shabbos, after sundown. So you have this twilight zone where you don't want to eat because the fast started, but you don't want to take off your shoes because it's Shabbos. It's not nice to take your shoes off on Shabbos in public, as if you're mourning on Shabbos. So we say the following, that starting with sundown, which here in Memphis on this particular year, sundown is at 7:53. At 7:53, you can no longer, you wouldn't want to wash. Why should you? You don't have to wash at that moment. You wouldn't want to put on luxurious lotions and things, because why not? You don't have to put it on at that time. It's not a violation of Shabbos not to use hot water at that particular moment, cold water. But most authorities say you can sit on the chair. The rabbi's giving a talk. You can stay on the chair. You can leave your shoes on. You should leave your shoes on. We don't take our shoes off. Now, if you were home and you kick your shoes off, you don't have to put them back on. I mean, if you're not wearing shoes, if you're a type of person who, for whatever reason, likes to wear, you know, non-leather canvas sneakers or something on Shabbos afternoon, I wouldn't recommend it. But if you did on a regular basis, then you could wear, you could do that this Shabbos too. Now, so generally, starting sundown, we don't eat, but we don't publicly show any signs of mourning. But privately, stop bathing, stop anointing ourselves with lotions, perfumes. Now, what about how exactly does it work? What about your shoes? How are you going to bring sneakers to shul? Well, you're not allowed to bring sneakers on Shabbos in a bag so that after Shabbos you'll have sneakers. Can't do that. So you either have to bring sneakers before Shabbos, or in many shuls, like in ours, the kinos don't begin until 15 minutes after Shabbos is over. So Shabbos is over at 7:53, and the fast begins at 7:53. Shabbos is over at 8:36, and we're going to start at 8:55. We're going to start 15, 20 minutes later. So in those 20 minutes, you can go home, get your sneakers, and come back. Some bring their sneakers before Shabbos. You can just take off your shoes, but then you have trouble. How are you going to walk home? If by mistake, you forgot to bring sneakers, you could take off your shoes in shul, walk to the door. When you get to the door, you don't want to be a weird person walking outside with barefoot. Put your shoes on outside, get into the car, take off your shoes, leave the car, put your shoes back on, get into the house, take off your shoes. In other words, on the street, we don't go barefoot. We don't have to be strange people. Now, before we do anything that's weak-like, such as carrying or bringing our sneakers or carrying without an Eruv, or if we want to get in the car, you have to do some sort of Havdalah. Now, Havdalah is another problem. How are we going to do Havdalah? Havdalah, usually we drink. How are you going to drink on Saturday night? So there have been four solutions over time. One, no Havdalah. This year, Havdalah is canceled. Since you're not obligated Saturday night, you're not obligated at all. We reject that position. Another idea is that before Shabbos goes out, before the sun goes down, you make an early Havdalah without a candle, and you drink the wine because the fast hasn't started yet. But some people say, the Rosh says, wait a second. If you made Havdalah, then Shabbos is over. Shabbos is over, that means the fast began. If the fast began, you can't drink the wine. So some say, make Havdalah like usual, Saturday night, and give the wine to the children. Others say it will corrupt the children. They're eating. You're publicly having them eating, drinking on Tisha B'Av. So instead, we have a custom, you know, pretty universally, that we make Havdalah on Sunday night. Sunday night we'll make Havdalah just with wine. No spices this year at all. And the candle we do on Saturday night. You can watch the candle in the shul right before the Eicha, before the Megillah is read. Or you can make a bracha on the Havdalah candle when you go home later, or if you're at home. Now, we have to be careful with this Havdalah, because Havdalah is the way we end Shabbos. Now, you can end Shabbos by saying, Hamavdi ben Kodesh L'chol, Baruch Hamavdi ben Kodesh L'chol, blessed is the one who differentiates between Shabbos and the weekday. So if you need to drive, you say, Baruch Hamavdi ben Kodesh L'chol. Or you daven Maariv first, and then you say, and the Maariv, Havdalah within Maariv, covers the being able to work. But being able to eat, that you need to make Havdalah. So we don't want to eat before you make Havdalah. So if someone, for whatever reason, wasn't fasting, or they couldn't fast, they're medically incapable of fasting, then they should make Havdalah whenever they break their fast. If they break their fast Saturday night, they should make it Saturday night. If they break their fast Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they should make Havdalah Sunday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Again, no spices, no candle. But Saturday night, you could use a candle. We don't use spices. Spices make us cheery. We're not so cheery this year on Saturday night. What about the custom that on the eve of Tisha B'Av, we should only focus about Tisha B'Av, should only learn sad things? Just as on Tisha B'Av, it's forbidden to learn happy things. We should only study Lamentations, Eicha, the Talmud about the sad destruction of the temple, Jeremiah and sad things, and the laws of mourning, Moed Katan and other things. Just like we do that on Tisha B'Av, there's a custom that on the eve of Tisha B'Av, we also do that. So what about this year, on Shabbos afternoon, can we study the Parsha? So they say, yes, that's part of normal going over the Parsha. You're allowed to do that. Can we, not necessarily in depth, but to go over the Rashis. Can we study Pirkei Avos? Well, it's better, they say, to study the laws of mourning. Study sad things. Get ready for Tisha B'Av. Not because you're getting ready, but that's the theme of the Shabbos afternoon this year. You need to think about Tisha B'Av. Not that you're mourning on Shabbos, God forbid, but that's the topic of study. You're getting ready for Tisha B'Av. You want to learn about Tisha B'Av. Again, not as a matter of preparation, but as a matter of focus. At this time, the eve of Tisha B'Av, we learn about Tisha B'Av. There are those who are lenient that if you always study Talmud on Shabbos afternoon, you should study again. And there are those who are more lenient. Mishnah Berurah says that some are lenient. So if you need to, you could study regular things Shabbos afternoon. Now, another thing that changes this year is that on Sunday night, it's going to be a little different because usually the night right after the fast doesn't end. The fast ends, you could eat, but everything else, aside from shoes and sitting on the chair, continues until noon the next day, or for Sephardic Jews, the whole next day. Why? Because the temple was destroyed not only on the 9th, but also on the 10th. The temple started to be burnt right before sundown on the 9th. The rabbis instituted Tisha B'Av on the 9th, but the truth is, most of the temple burnt on the 10th. So this year, we're all gonna do it the right way. We're gonna commemorate it on the 10th, which Rabbi Yochanan said, if he was in charge, he would have made Tisha B'Av on the 10th anyway. But usually, after Tisha B'Av's over, we still have to commemorate Tisha B'Av till noon the next day to remember the destruction on the 10th. This year, Sunday night is not the 10th, it's the 11th, so there's no need to continue to mourn, but you don't have meat and wine, other than Havdalah, you don't have meat and wine after the fast, because you just had Tisha B'Av. It's not a time for meat and wine. But on Sunday, on Monday morning, you could have meat or wine, no problem. Also, if you want to do laundry on Sunday, this year on Sunday night, it's not a problem. You want to take a bath on Sunday night, it's not a problem. Only thing that's restricted is meat and wine. Now, to go to the more theoretical level, we mentioned that there's a debate among the authorities as to whether this year Tisha B'Av is canceled on Shabbos, or whether it's still a little bit of a Tisha B'Av. So, for instance, a debate between the Mechaber and the Ramah, the Ashkenazic and Sephardic authorities, as to whether you could have normal marital relations on Shabbos on Friday night or not, seems to be a debate that reflects this difference. Is there some lingering sense of it being Tisha B'Av or not? The Magen Avraham said you shouldn't study Torah all day, because he thinks there's a lingering sense of it being a fast. The Minchas Chinuch has an interesting question. He asks, why is it that these two laws, the laws of eating on Shabbos and the laws of fasting on Tisha B'Av, shouldn't one cancel the other? They're both laws based on a verse in Zechariah the prophet that there's a fast in this month. So, and also, enjoying Shabbos is a verse in Isaiah. So one should override the other. So the first answer is that it's not a rabbinic law to enjoy Shabbos. It says in the Torah, it's a holy convocation. Isaiah explains that we should rejoice and enjoy the Shabbos, but it's really a Torah law, or that Shabbos itself is a Torah law, so Shabbos overrides the fast day. Also, you could say that to begin with, the rabbis never instituted, the prophets never instituted that Tisha B'Av would be on Shabbos, only that it would be on Sunday. Minchas Chinuch says, I'll tell you why. Tisha B'Av cannot cancel Shabbos enjoyment because the prophet Zechariah never said Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av. He said the fast of the month, the fifth month. Fifth month, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. The fifth month is Tammuz, is Av. You have to fast in this fifth month. It could be on the ninth, it could be on the tenth, it doesn't make a difference. So therefore, you don't have to, why should we fast on the ninth? We fast on the tenth. This year, the institution is on the tenth. So that's the question. Is it really that the fast is really still on the ninth, and we're moving it to the tenth, but, or do we say that, no, this year, the rabbis really instituted to begin with, when it falls on Shabbos, it absolutely does move to the next day. This notion that it's really the fast of the month, is interesting. It has several implications. The Avudraham said that when it comes to the tenth of Tevet, the fast of Tevet, the Sarba Tevet, commemorating in the winter the destruction, the siege of Jerusalem, that even if it fell on Shabbos, we would commemorate it on Shabbos because that's a specific day. Be'etzem Hayom is a specific fast day for the tenth. But other holidays, other fasts are not specific to that day, or in fact. Very simple. The last fast, Shivan Sabra Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz. Talmud says, that if you look in the Book of Kings, Jeremiah, it says that the walls broke on the 9th of Tammuz. So why do we commemorate the 17th? Because in the Second Temple, there's a tradition that in the Second Temple, the walls broke on the 17th. But Zechariah only instituted the 17th of Tammuz. I mean, the 9th of Tammuz. How did it turn into the 17th? No. He never instituted the ninth of Tammuz. He instituted the month of Tammuz. Whenever it may be, we moved it from the ninth to the 17th because it's just that month. As long as it's that month, it's fine. There's no problem whatsoever. So, we have an unusual situation this year. Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos. It's beautiful that somehow this year, even though it's Tisha B'Av, we're able to eat and drink. And many people say, wow, that's great. Because we know in the end of days, Tisha B'Av will become a great holiday. The day of the birthday of the Mashiach, the day when we'll celebrate the redemption, but the opposite of the commemoration of the destruction will become the day to celebrate the rebuilding of the temple. So in the future we're going to eat, and as it says in Zechariah, it will be sasam u'simcha, it will be for great joy. So this year we get to feel that sense of great joy on Tisha B'Av, that even on Tisha B'Av we get to eat and drink. And in fact, this year, we get to commemorate Tisha B'Av on the real day, on the day when most of the burning took place, on the 10th. So in many ways, this year, it's a real deal. It's a real Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av the way it's supposed to be. And one day, Tisha B'Av was supposed to be a day on which we rejoice with the rebuilding of a temple in Jerusalem. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.